Everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right. Listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Up fans. Welcome to The Rundown. Yet another busy weekend in sports, and we will get you ready like only we can. What are the Hornets doing in Charlotte right now? How could they possibly screw this up? We will detail that for you. Where will Kawhi, King of the North, land? How did the Lakers get from where they were a month ago, which was a total dumpster fire, to the odds-on favorite to win it all next year? Plus, I've got Carolina Cobras head coach Billy back. He's our guest in the Rundown hot seat today. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. I'm joined by Haskell Shelton, IMG's Ryan Stone. Sawyer Dillon is my producer extraordinaire. Aaron Gabriel's on our social media. We're all up in the building. And Aaron, we were talking about the Twitter poll question for this morning, and I know it was like 15 minutes ago, and I've kind of already forgot what I told you to put down. And it was a Hornets question. Am I correct? Okay, so.
Yeah. The question is for this day, who deserves the most blame if Kemba Walker leaves via free agency? Options are Michael Jordan, who was already leading with 100%. There's only one vote so far.
Okay, here you go.
Mitch Kupchak and Kemba Walker.
Wow. Okay. So 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on any of the topics today. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll be able to answer your questions and things there if you have a question for us. Or you can call us on the hotline. That's at Sports Hub Triad or at Sports Carolina 1. Before we get into our first topic of the morning, some business here. If you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash this season for only $7, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage, get your ticket vouchers, and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. These tickets are for this upcoming holiday week, so definitely pay attention. Single game tickets are only $7. These are premium home plate seats. Right behind home plate, they're a $16 normal value. Get them for over 50% off. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com right now. They're good for the July 5th through the 7th homestand. That's this upcoming Friday through Sunday. So this upcoming weekend, you'll be able to use those tickets there. There's only a limited supply available, so go and stock up right now. So, fellas, let's start off with the disaster that's potentially forming in Charlotte right now. The Boston Celtics have emerged as the front runner to land Hornets point guard Kemba Walker. Do you guys feel that Kemba Walker's played his last game as a Hornet?
100% yes.
I would agree with that, 100%, yes.
Wow, so we're starting the show like just...
Yeah, well, that's a very depressing note.
It was like a funeral.
It's going to get worse.
Like, so there's no... You don't think there's any shot? You don't think the Hornets will be able to come back and be like, you know what, we made a mistake, 5 years, 190 or something like that? Because report is that you got offered 5 years, 160 from the Hornets.
You pay Kemba the Supermax.
Yeah.
He means that much to them. Like, I was telling you off the air, I literally think they go from a playoff contender... Without him, I think they're the worst team in the NBA. Like, they're competing with the Cavaliers for being the worst team in the NBA.
Looking at their roster, I'm inclined to agree. And it wouldn't see just letting him go, it wouldn't be like you swallow a year and then get better. They still would have issues, even like with their cap, even if they let Kemba go. You've got Batum on the books for $52 million for the next 2 years. You've got Biombo opted into his player option. That was what, like $19 million, I believe.
That's about right, 17 to 19.
Marvin Williams opted in.
That was like another all the bad decisions
it's
Michael
horrible.
Jordan has made. It's poor management.
I was reading an article that somebody had wrote about these are the reasons why Kemba's leaving if he leaves. Like, what led to this? And it was all these bad contracts that got signed and horrific trades that happened. The whole Dwight Howard situation. When we got him, and then what we got back for when we traded him. I forgot the whole Miles Plumlee stuff that happened. Yep. That was a horrific trade that happened coming in. He was owed like $60 million when we brought him in, and then we traded him out for like peanuts. I mean,
they're one of the worst run teams.
It's really
in
bad.
The NBA.
It's really, really bad. This is a team that missed the playoffs by one game last year. I think that's what's making it bad. That's making it worse for me, because in my head I'm like, they're right there in the East. All of the NBA is going to be scrambled next year. Nothing that we know right now is going to be the same. So why would you not give Kemba the Supermax and eat the year, next year, luxury tax wise or whatever.
Right.
Well, and then just go from there.
Michael Jordan's stubborn.
Yeah, I agree. He is stubborn. And he's also, you know, what's been clear, I do think, if there's any track record in all of this misery, is that Michael Jordan would rather run the Charlotte Hornets as a business than as a winning team. And that's where the fan frustration is really starting to set in.
I do have a question that I've kind of wondered on this, because this is years now.
Yeah.
This is going on. And we've never seen him. He's basically refused to give Kimba the Supermax.
As far as we know right now.
How much of this is Jordan's ego?
You mean like, I don't believe these guys should be paid this much?
Like, I never got paid this much.
I don't know if it's that. I think your first point's really more what it is, because he's said he doesn't want to pay over the luxury tax for a team that's not in the playoffs. And if he thinks that next year's team doesn't have a good shot of making the playoffs, then that's his justification to not pay him the Supermax. However, if you don't pay him the Supermax, then you're never going to see the playoffs, at least for the next five or 6 years. If you're doing all this to try to tank next year, you should have done that last year. Last year was the year to tank. I mean, get Zion. Get R.J. Barrett. Agree, you know what I mean?
Like, sit Kimba.
Who's coming out next year? Like, I'm not tanking for James Wiseman. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't.
You know, it's like, what's going on here? Like, there's nobody coming out next year where I'm like, we got to have that guy to build my franchise around. It's going to be a weak draft.
Right. No, this is clearly with the low ball. I think this is, you know, a 5 to 10 year reset on the whole organization.
If I was a season ticket holder, I would refuse. I would give him up. I would refuse to go next year out of protest.
Who would you go to see?
Kimba's return when he's on the Celtics.
There's only a couple of guys in the league. There's only a handful of guys in the league that can walk around and say, I dropped 60 points in a professional basketball game in this league. Kimba's one of those guys. Like, I mean, we have one of those guys here. I don't understand why you would not say, you know what, we heard he say that, you know, he didn't want to, he could take less maybe, blah, blah, blah. We're going to offer him the Supermax anyway because he deserves it. He's put money in our pocket for the past 8 years. He's literally the marquee attraction for the Hornets. And if they lose him for nothing, like, that's going to upset people more than anything else. People don't mind if Kemba leaves for a contender because they get it. You know, he wants to win. Most Charlotte fans understand we're not close to winning a championship in the next couple of years. But Charlotte fans also understand if he just walks and we get nothing for his service, like we can't even work out a sign and trade, that's a problem in the front office.
I mean, you're looking at a roster next year potentially that would be Devontae Graham right now as your point guard.
Friend of the program. He's been on before, so.
Devontae Graham is a fine, reserve player.
Yeah.
Malik Monk as your shooting guard. Miles Bridges as your small forward. And then you've got some combination of Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, PJ Washington. Like, I mean, is there a worse starting lineup in the NBA? I can't think of it if it is. I mean, at least the Cavaliers have Colin Sexton and now Darius Garland, too.
Kevin Love.
And Kevin Love.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the Knicks? I mean, RJ
Barrett. Knicks would be in competition for that.
Ugh. The Hawks would be better.
The Hornets will not play the Greensboro Swarm in an exhibition game for fear of losing.
That
might be the case. That's the sad thing. So, okay, so.
Actually, they may be in contention for be a 10-win team next season.
So, that's the thing. Like I said, that frustrates me more than anything, because it's like, if you were going to do this, if you knew you weren't going to offer a Supermax, basically you kept Kemba because you're hosting the All-Star game.
Right.
That's the only reason why you kept him for the trade deadlines, because we were hosting the All-Star game and he was going to be a starter. That's it.
And I told you when I went down there that they were part of the whole poor performance in the All-Star game, because we wanted Kemba to be the MVP, right? The hometown MVP.
Yeah.
They pimped him out and had him at every Jordan shoe event, every Belks and Dillard's event in Charlotte signing autographs, and he was exhausted.
What exactly?
We absolutely ran him into the ground.
What exactly was Jordan's plan here, by the way? I mean, we're gonna pay you 5 years, $160 million. I'll make it up to you in shoes.
Yeah,
was that the plan?
He's not, because Kemba's not even a Jordan brand guy, is he? I don't think.
No, he isn't. But he was at every shoe event and everything that Jordan was at the whole weekend.
He's the face of the franchise. Like, if you take Kemba off this team, you're taking away half their win total, I think, from last year.
At least.
I mean, they won, 38 games last year?
38, yeah.
How viable were the Hornets with Kemba Walker?
They were on the verge of being a playoff. They were one game out of the playoffs. And watching what Orlando did.
Hooray, they get a participation award. Like, they would have been bounced in the first round.
But considering they've only made the playoffs twice in the past 8 years, that's still progress.
Enough, man. I'm not excited about that.
I hear you, Aaron, man. I think their ceiling with Kemba is probably like a 6 or 7 seed in the Eastern Conference.
And they're getting bounced. They're not beating anybody.
What's their ceiling without him?
Yeah, I'd rather that than without him, because we saw what it was without him. Like, do you remember the 7-win Bobcats team that we had to deal with?
Yeah, that's where we're going.
That's where we're going if we let Kemba go for nothing. Like, I don't mind letting him go. Like, I get
running this as a business, but this is not a good business practice because nobody's going to pay to go to your game. $13 a beer.
I totally agree. Plus, it's like, we all know Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a gambler. He likes to gamble. He likes to take risks. That's how he became Michael Jordan. Why would you not apply that to your business? Like, look at the Lacombs, Golden State. They're building a brand new arena. They're moving into it next year.
They pay the luxury tax.
They have the highest the highest costing roster in the NBA. They're going to pay over $300 million next year, even if Durant is not there.
Two of those guys may not be playing.
Right. They've got $400+ million tied up into two guys, Steph Curry and soon to be Klay Thompson, Splash Brothers. If you want to win in today's NBA, you got to spend the money. Like, you can't do this and stay under the luxury tax and have a team that's going to compete. Right.
No, this isn't baseball.
You got to spend the money.
He's always been shrewd with his money. He's a gambler.
He's
that's
a billionaire.
Different from running a business. And then there's a famous clip of him and Charles Barkley on like a TV show.
Oprah.
Was it Oprah?
Yeah.
Where Charles is telling a story about Jordan smacking his hand because he was going to give the homeless man some spare change. Have you seen that? Charles Barkley is talking about, I was going to give a homeless guy some spare change. Michael Jordan smacks my hand and says, if he can ask for change, he can work at McDonald's and say, hi, may I help you or take your order?
Aha, but see, this is different because in that situation, Kemba Walker is the guy that's been giving Michael Jordan food for the past 8 years, and Michael Jordan hasn't been paying him a dime. Like, Michael Jordan owes him.
I think the point
he owes
is
him money.
He's stingy with the cheese.
But he owes him this money.
Like, he doesn't owe squat.
He owes him this money.
He doesn't owe him anything.
All the Kemba jerseys, all the shoes.
That money's already made.
All the bobbleheads.
That money's already made.
All the family nights, like all that stuff that they did.
If you pay him for past deeds, that's a bad contract.
All the events.
Everything. He owes this man money. He's been criminally underpaid.
That may be the case, but he doesn't owe him anything.
Desmond, are you finally changing your stance on Michael Jordan as an owner? Is this pushing you?
Well, I've never thought he was a great owner. I never thought he was awful either. Yeah, I mean, if this happens, yeah, absolutely.
He is an awful owner.
If this happens and he loses Kemba for nothing, then Michael Jordan, I don't want to say he's the worst owner in the league because he's the only African American owner in the league. So I don't want to be like, you're the worst owner in the league.
He's got Dan Gilbert to compete with for that title. So. But granted, Dan Gilbert at least paid LeBron James.
Gilbert won a chip.
That's true. Dan Gilbert's kind of out of
Dan Gilbert got three overall number one picks in 4 years, too. I mean, that helped. So, I mean, you got to get something back for him. You got if he's going to leave, be like, all right, fine. If you're going to leave, cool. We don't want to pay you the Supermax, but we will sign you to a 5-year, $221 million deal, Supermax. And then trade you so you get your fifth guaranteed year, and we can get some assets back and get Batum all the way up out of here so we can get stuff straightened out.
But he's already expressed the interest that he doesn't want to go back. So why would
that's the part I haven't seen.
Essentially, that's what everybody's saying is that he's done. You know, he's offended by the offer they made.
This is ridiculous, and that he's done.
so why would Boston or LA or whoever the suitor is, why would they agree to any kind of trade?
Year or whatever.
Yeah, like any kind of trade.
Because, I mean, at that point, you're talking about whoever's getting an extra $45, $50 million
I get that. But if you're Boston, you don't want to have to give up any of your young players.
You'd have to bring a third team in. You'd have to bring in somebody like the Cavs or somebody that wants to unload, like, say, maybe Kevin Love or you know what? I don't even want to talk about Kemba right now.
let's talk about Cody Zeller.
I want to move on to Kevin Durant
real quick. Potential starter, Cody Zeller.
because I don't know if Kevin Durant's going to make a decision on Sunday night either, but Adrian Wojnarowski put out this article this morning, actually. Durant's to engage in talks with four teams, the Brooklyn Nets, LA Clippers, New York Knicks, and the Warriors. My understanding is that Kevin Durant's not very happy with the Warriors staff right now based on stories that have been out there that they kind of handled his medical situation wrong, and he was told one thing. The thing that didn't help was Andre Iguodala coming out saying the year before that the medical staff told him he had a bone bruise, and it turned out he had a fracture or whatever. Yeah. that is not good. Like, when your medical staff is kind of being crucified like this, on one hand, I understand Kevin Durant not wanting to change teams in the middle of rehab. You kind of want to stay with the group that's been with you. But if that group is not telling you the correct information and you're already rehabbing in New York anyway, now the Nets and the Knicks kind of come into play a little bit.
I legitimately don't know what he's going to do because
I don't think he knows.
Because you're in a position where you're essentially, you know, if you sign with, you know, the Knicks or the Nets, you're kind of, you can't help him in that first season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you almost feel like, I feel like for him, he may almost feel guilty. So what I would do if I was him, I'd sign the 1+1 and I'd just, you know, essentially tax the Warriors for that injury and then go.
I keep making fun of the Knicks roster and the Nets roster. I'm going to go look and see.
The Nets roster is pretty good.
The Nets roster doesn't have.
The Nets have, you know, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen. They've got some nice
players. They got some pieces. Shabazz Napier's on that team. Yeah. Joe Harris, Damari Carroll. Nobody's going to, like, blow you away, but, I
mean. They've got a nice.
They're a playoff team.
They've got a nice core.
Yeah, they made the playoffs. Now, the Knicks are different.
No, the Knicks roster is.
The Knicks
might be the. You know, R.J. Barrett's going to be the best starter they've got.
See, and that's saying something right there. Let's see. The Knicks right now, they've got R.J. Barrett, Dennis Smith Jr. DeAndre Jordan plays for the Knicks?
Oh, yeah. I think he did get traded there.
Kevin Knox.
Actually, that's a better roster than the Hornets. That's a better roster than the Hornets by far.
Isaiah Hicks. I didn't know Isaiah Hicks was playing for the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson. I like him.
Dennis Smith Jr.
That's definitely a better roster than what the Hornets have. Actually.
You know what? Actually, I kind of like the Knicks roster more than I do the Nets for some reason. Emmanuel Mudiay is on that team.
They have a lot of guys that haven't, like,
Noah Vonleh. I remember him. We drafted him, and he was
another
disaster.
Fantastic decision.
Played in the G League most of that entire year. Alonzo Trier from Arizona is on that team. Neither one of them are, like, fantastic. Like, oh, man, he joins them, and they're immediate contender. But
the thing I like about the Nets roster is I feel like those guys are actually, like, showing their potential.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of the Knicks guys you're talking about, I feel like we haven't seen what we're supposed to see.
So, I mean, you got to think of the Nets as if they don't have D'Angelo Russell, though, right? So are you putting Kyrie Irving in that spot with Durant and the rest of those guys? Like, is that what we're talking about here if he goes to the Nets?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, you're looking at that. They've got Caris LeVert, who, when he's healthy, has shown to be a pretty good player.
They were 42-40 last year, six in the NBA. And this is my point. The Brooklyn Nets, who we're talking about, has a better roster or whatever than the Knicks. They finished 42-40 in the East last year. They finished 3 games ahead of the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, that was a log jam from, like, 6
I mean,
to 9,
it's not like 10. The Hornets have been awful, like, they've been like this for the past 3 years. They're a 38-win team. Like, that's what they've been,
42
you know?
Wins, yeah.
And it's almost like all they had to do was wait out some of these contracts, which most of them are dropping off next year. So you just had to get through next year, maybe be a 7th or 8th seed. Batum's contract will be tradable the next year because it would be expiring after this one.
But also,
Biombo's is expiring.
But also, if you're Kemba Walker, there's no reason to believe that Michael Jordan is going to make any moves like that.
Now, that I understand.
Because we haven't seen him make
that I
totally, any kind of winning move.
I totally understand. Now, if you guys had to choose right now for Kevin Durant out of those 4 teams, what would be the best option for him?
I think the one that it's either stay in Golden State or the Nets for me.
I don't think he can stay in Golden State. I mean, there's so much buildup now. I don't know if he can
stay,
right? I don't know.
Especially after the Clay's contract. I don't know what that looks like. But
made a point to offer Clay the way they did 3 days before, so there was no question that it was going to happen. I think that was kind of a saying, like, we value Clay more than we do Kevin Durant.
I think there's a piece of Durant's ego that wants to very much prove that he's the man and he can do it by himself. So I think that the money and the opportunity with the Knicks is a very intriguing opportunity for him.
You don't think the Achilles changed that opinion for him, though?
Yeah, but here's the thing about the Knicks thing. Like, if he's not bringing Kyrie with him,
right,
you're essentially handicapping the Knicks for a year.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just got to sit there and watch a horrible basketball team. I don't know if he wants to do that.
And question why
that's
not with his
team. But if he goes to the Nets and you bring Kyrie Irving and you're bringing Kyrie Irving already to what was a playoff team last year, it's not as horrible a thing to have to sit there and watch.
You know what's crazy? What happens to Kyrie if Durant stays in Golden State? Like, where does he go?
Oh, he's going to Brooklyn. I think that's...
Well, the story's coming out is that Brooklyn doesn't want just Kyrie. They want them both. Like, they're not going to sign just Irving. And the same with the Knicks. So, like, if, say,
Kyrie,
Durant stays
Kyrie
in Golden State...
Dallas.
Well, I think... Yeah, I don't think so. I think Kyrie... I think the thing is,
they need a point guard. They got the money.
They wanted Kemba.
They got Luka.
They're willing to pay $30 million plus.
The thing is,
would that work? Kyrie, Doncic, and Porzingis?
I don't think they need a true point guard in Dallas because
they've got Doncic. Doncic was a point guard, but everyone keeps saying they needed to get a point guard.
I didn't like the idea of putting Kemba Walker
next
to Doncic because I never liked him in Dallas either. Point guard. Like, I think Al Horford ends up in Dallas.
Yeah, I can see that. I could definitely see Al Horford there. Yeah. But that could be the reason why Kyrie ends up in L.A.
Or actually, if Kyrie and Al Horford have a decent enough relationship still, I don't know if there was any, because most of the reports were that his tension was with the younger players.
Yeah.
But he could bring Al Horford to Brooklyn potentially.
There's footage out there of Al Horford standing on the side, like with his hands out, waiting for the pass, and Kyrie's just dribbling and shooting. And he's just like, what are you doing? That's and then while he walked back up the court.
He may not want, but there's other guys that, if you're Kyrie Irving, you could bring in.
Man, 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on this. I want to know from the public, how are you feeling this weekend, potential doomsday weekend for Hornets fans if they lose Kemba Walker Sunday right at 6 p.m.? Because to me, that means if you lose him right when it opens up, he decided days ago. You know, there was no, I'm going to sign with you like at 6 o'clock. He knew right when it happened, I'm going here. And he's known it for a while, which means the Hornets screwed this up days ago without any kind of warning or provocation or anything. Like, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to come with this low number the way they did, unless they were trying to save money on the luxury tax.
You're right. And I just want to back up to one thing that's been quoted about Mitch Kupchak, and this kind of helps some of our listeners with the poll, but Mitch Kupchak said that, number one, is quoted, "We will do everything in our power to sign Kemba Walker."
Yep.
And he is a once-in-a-lifetime franchise player.
Nah.
So after you make those comments and then you get lowballed, there's only two possibilities. Mitch Kupchak is a dirty liar, or Michael Jordan is pulling the purse strings here, and he is ultimately in control, and it's his fault that we have sucked forever.
It is 100% on Michael Jordan. Mitch Kupchak has a history of spending money. We've seen it with the Lakers.
Right.
And Mitch Kupchak is proven.
Here's the thing, too, with that, because people thought when they signed Kupchak, he's going to get everything right with what Cho messed up.
You can't.
Mitch Kupchak didn't build those Lakers teams. Jerry West built those Lakers teams. Mitch Kupchak just kind of.
But he kept them.
You know, babysat them, basically. Yeah. And he signed some bad deals in L.A. Wasn't he the guy that did the Timothy Moskov trade? Then he signed Luol Deng to that weird deal.
Yeah, I mean, there was some questionable things. Yeah. He also won championships.
He did.
So, I mean, he's more proven than Michael Jordan is as an owner.
And I prefer having him as general manager than Rich Cho. Yep. Like, Rich, because all these contracts that are on here right now looking at,
like,
Rich Cho did the majority of this work.
Like, you said, we talked about, Kemba getting lowball. You're not just lowball. We're talking about $60 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's generational changing money. It's not like they just offered him $200 or $210.
Let's put this
about $160 compared to $221. Like,
let me put this in perspective. Kemba Walker made $12 million last year. He was the sixth highest player on the team.
That's probably the best value contract in the NBA.
Yeah.
He was the 10th leading scorer in the NBA.
He was the 10th leading. He was third team All-NBA, a top 15 player in the league, and he was the sixth highest paid player on his own team behind Nick Batum. Nick Batum's the highest paid player on this team. He made $24 million last year. Bismack Biyombo made $17 million. He's 3 years younger than Kemba Walker. How in the world?
Nick Batum's
We didn't give him that money. The 76ers did, didn't they? We traded Biyombo off.
Biyombo? No,
yeah.
He came back as a free agent.
We gave him this money?
Yes. They gave it to him.
My Lord. Yeah. Marvin Williams has $14 million from last year. Cody Zeller, $13. MKG, $13 million. And those five guys I just named are all getting that money again this upcoming year. Batum, Biyombo, Marvin Williams, Zeller, Kid Gilchrist.
And none of them are good.
I mean, even like MKG, he was a second overall pick. Most of that, I'm looking through this, Cody Zeller was a fourth overall pick. I mean,
Biyombo was a first round pick.
Yeah, they haven't panned out.
If you're looking at this, starting with Walker as the sixth highest paid player, you got Jeremy Lamb as the seventh highest paid player at $7 million, and Tony Parker at $5 million. So the three best players on the Hornets last year are literally in the middle to the lower half of the pack.
Those three players combined made the same amount Nick Batum made by himself last year. All right, let's go take a break. So it is June.
We're going to go light a couch on fire outside the studio.
How many jerseys get lit on fire in Charlotte this weekend? Please no Kemba Walker jerseys.
Yeah, don't burn Kemba Walker jerseys.
You want to burn an old Charlotte jersey?
I will not
no
have
Kimball
respect
jerseys.
For Hornets fans if they start burning Kemba Walker jerseys, because every Hornets fan understands what's going on here. And every Hornets fan is like, you know what? Kemba, escape. You need to get out of here, man. Go win.
Just burn t-shirts.
Oh, can we get like a Mitch Kupchak t-shirt? We could burn that, maybe.
I mean, if there's a Michael Jordan Charlotte Hornets t-shirt, I would start go ahead and start.
It's getting close. It's getting dangerously close to the town revolting on MJ here.
I'll go ahead and burning VHS tapes of Space Jam.
Yeah, come fly with me. Like,
hey, I have it on Blu-ray, actually.
It's coming up. It's June, yes, but it's never too early to think about college basketball. Brant Wilkerson, new from the Greensboro News and Record, gives us his take on roster changes for the ACC Big Four, and we'll see if we can get some way too early predictions out of him, too, next in the Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Listen to previous episodes of The Rundown on the go. The Rundown with Desmond Johnson, now available on all major podcast formats, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. Simply search The Rundown with Desmond Johnson, download it, and enjoy. You are locked into yet another two-hour edition of The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. Haskell Shelton and Ryan Stone in the house with me. We're going to check on our Twitter poll question here in just a second. But first, on our hotline, friend of the program, Greensboro News and Record writer Brant Wilkerson, new on the line. What's going on, Brant?
Not too much. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. I talked to you earlier in the week because I saw that you were posting these roster analyses online for the ACC Big Four for college basketball. And I know it's June and everyone's talking NBA free agency and everything else, but in this part of the country, you can talk ACC Big Four basketball all year round. So I wanted to get some questions in for you for some of these here. And starting off, I really wanted to start off with NC State, because I think they're a real interesting team going forward into the year next year. And they might be a slept on kind of team too. But wanted to ask you, for starters, what NC State Wolfpack newcomer do you think will have the biggest impact going into next year?
Yeah, that's interesting, because they lost their biggest impact newcomer in Jalen McHugh, who elected to stay in the draft, and he didn't get drafted, but ended up with a four-year deal, two of which were guaranteed, so you can't blame the kid for going on there. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at the recruiting class that they brought in. What they have is a lot of interchangeable parts. So I think, you know, I'm kind of interested in this Darian Sebrin kid, who was the Virginia State Player of the Year his high school senior year in the 4A class. So that's nothing to sneeze at. He's athletic. He's really fast. He plays hard. You can see he kind of goes to the basket with an edge, but I think he was kind of overlooked because he was a little bit thin. He was like 6'6 and under 200 pounds. So he spent a year in prep school, put on some weight, and you can kind of just see he's one of those guys that's going to excel in this Kevin Keats system, where defense is valued and they play so fast and just kind of effort is rewarded. So I'm interested to see what he can do this season.
I did see year before last, I did the Joseph Lovell Classic at Dudley that had like a lot of top prep guys that were coming in. Kobe White was the leading scorer that game. He scored 40 points. But a kid that was in that game that stood out to me was Manny Bates, who's actually at NC State, and he redshirted last year. He had an injury, and it sounds like, from what I was reading in your analysis, that redshirt year actually helped him, because he was able to add like an extra 20, 30 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, he was super thin coming out of high school. I know he was listed about 190 on rosters coming out of high school when he was a recruit. But he's now on the state roster, about 220, and you can see, obviously, he's put on a ton of muscle. So, you know, you hate to see a kid get injured, but ultimately, I think that might benefit him in the long run, that he was able to spend that year in the college program and in their weight room and all that. And, you know, he's going to have as good a chance as anybody, because State is thin in the front court again. DJ Funderburk's kind of going to be their featured guy at center, who's definitely not traditional center. He's kind of more of a stretch four type player. So Manny Bates is going to have an opportunity to get in there, particularly if he can rebound. I know that his offense is a little bit limited, or was a little bit limited coming out of high school. So, you know, that doesn't really matter, though, in the Kevin Keats system, because if you think about when he was at UNCW, he had a guy in Devontae Kaycock who put up these huge rebounding and some pretty decent scoring numbers, and his offense was pretty limited at that point to just dunks and putbacks. But the way that State played him, or the way that UNCW played him off pick and rolls and that kind of thing, put him in position to score. So Manny Bates could very well see some, you know, some benefits in that.
Hey, Brant, Haskell Shelton here from Sports Carolina Monthly. Great job on the articles. We've been kind of looking at these. And in your article on Carolina, you talk a little bit about the two grad transfers. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on, as we go forward through your analysis of the ACC, how do you envision these new grad transfer rules where a lot of these premier programs are now picking up players that immediately fill spots on their scholarship roster? How is that going to affect the ACC, and how are they adapting to that?
Well, it's great for the ACC. It's terrible for conferences like the CAA, which, you know, I grew up or came up watching that kind of basketball. And Justin Pierce is a guy who was kind of slated to be one of the best players in the CAA next season at William & Mary. And we've seen this time and again as the guys from kind of those mid-level conferences that are expected to be maybe first-teamers in their senior year instead decide to go up and play for an ACC program and be maybe a role player, or who knows what he could do for Carolina. I really like his game there. But it's a great thing for the ACC, obviously, and they're going to get these kids. And I think it's a great thing for the kids as they get an opportunity to maybe be seen on a higher level. For example, and it's not even from the mid-major level, but Cameron Johnson was a grad transfer that came to Carolina from Pittsburgh, which is, you know, it's a program that's not viewed in the same way that Carolina is. And he was considered a pretty good player at Pittsburgh, a great shooter to that extent. But then he came to Carolina and really showed himself as a capable NBA player and ends up going 11th in the draft. So, you know, I think it's great for the kids. I think it's great for the high-major programs, but you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher for the mid-major and low-major programs to sustain things when kids have a chance to go to Carolina, and you can't blame them for taking that opportunity.
Hey, Brant, Ryan Stone here. I kind of piggybacking on that same question about grad transfers. Which one for the four schools we're talking about, which grad transfer you think makes the biggest impact on the ACC next season?
I think Christian Keeling is the guy on the Carolina roster that stands out to me more so than anybody in the ACC. And, you know, he's an experienced scorer. He was putting up about 19 a game at Charleston Southern. He's a great shooter. And not only is he just a great shooter, but he goes hard on both ends. And you could kind of see how he projects into Carolina's into their break as a guy that's going to be able to handle the ball on the break. He's a pretty good distributor. I watched as kind of a small sample size. Admittedly, I didn't watch a ton of Charleston Southern basketball, but in the highlights that I watched, it looks like he's a pretty willing passer and a pretty good passer. And not only that, he's going to be capable of pulling up for three on that break and the secondary break that Carolina runs. So I really like Christian Keeling's fit there in Chapel Hill.
There's one guy that stands out to me as I was reading through all of your analysis, and that's at Wake Forest, Adrian White, a 6'3", 190 senior. I'm pretty familiar with him because I actually was the studio host for Charlotte 2 years ago and got a chance to really call his name out a lot. There he hit 169 three-pointers with the 49ers. He's transfer. He had to sit out last year, and now he'll be in the backcourt with Brandon Childress. So I totally forgot that he had transferred to Wake Forest. What do you know about Adrian White, and do you think that's going to make the backcourt of Childress and White, will it be a significant upgrade to the Wake Forest backcourt for next season from what we've seen the past couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Wake Forest has got some really good parts, especially particularly in their backcourt and on the perimeter. And, you know, Brandon Childress is the guy there. He's the leader, and he's going to get his shots. But I think Adrian White really might wind up being their leading scorer this season. I know he got rave reviews talking to Connor O'Neill, who's our Wake Forest reporter at the Journal. Adrian White got huge rave reviews for the work that he was doing in practice last year as a transfer. So, you know, that is his kind of thing, is he's a shooter, and that's desperately what Wake Forest needs out there to kind of spread out the floor a little bit for Brandon Childress. And I really like Shaundae Brown's game at Wake Forest. I think he's got an NBA future ahead of him. As you know, as far as guys that you see on the court and you say that guy looks like an NBA player, Shaundae Brown is right up there with anybody you see in the ACC. So I think the Deacs have some really good parts in their backcourt. It's just whether they can find enough kind of in the front court and put it all together and finish games off and not get blitzed out of the gate like they seemingly did every game last year.
And then also wanted to talk a little bit about, I know we touched on a little bit about what was happening over at Carolina, but overall, out of these four schools, like who, I know it's super early, I know it's June, but out of these four schools, Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, NC State, who would you put money on to finish ahead of the rest in the ACC regular season next year based off of all the changes that they all have coming in?
Man, so it's always funny is that everybody's going to pick Duke every single year because of the amount of talent they have on the roster, and Carolina just keeps finishing ahead of them in the regular season. But that's kind of largely been predicated on experience for Carolina, whereas things are a little more, things are a little more up in the air for Carolina this year. They don't have the senior core that they've been able to repeat over and over for the past few years. So I think I'm putting Duke in first, just slightly ahead of Carolina, just barely. Just based on the fact that, I think that this is going to be Duke's best defensive team they've had. We've seen Duke teams that are great offensively in the past, but the difference really over these past few years has been when Duke can defend well, they're going to be good. So I think this season they've got, Trey Jones, obviously one of the best defenders in the country, and then they've got a couple of guys in Cassius Stanley and Wendell Moore that are really high upside defenders, and then they've got Javon Delorier, who's basically a rim protector down there. So I think I put Duke slightly ahead of Carolina, and then not far behind, honestly, I've got State. I think I'm picking State to finish around fifth or sixth in the ACC, and then the Deeks bringing up the rear there among that group.
Hey, Brant, Haskell again. Just I have not followed what has happened after Virginia's NCAA tournament run. What changes have they had to their roster, and where do you see them kind of fitting into the ACC this year?
Well, so they've lost Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter, all gone to the NBA. All three of them drafted. So pretty good run for the Cavs there in the NBA draft. So they're going to be in a bit of a state of transition, but that doesn't mean that they're going to slip very much because, I'm not going to doubt Tony Bennett one bit based on what he's done in Charlottesville. He's not getting five-star recruits every time out, but he gets his guys to do exactly what they want to do. So there's no team in the ACC that understands its identity better than Virginia and gets buy-in from its players. So they've got Diakite back next year. They've got Jay Huff back next year, who's played really, really well at times. And then they've got Kihei Clark, who was kind of the surprise, the little guy that played point guard, and, he's a defensive pest, and he's just beloved by those fans. And then they've got Braxton Key back. And so, I think Virginia is going to be right there in the mix again in the top four. It's obviously a little bit of a step down. There's a little more question around their roster, but I think we've learned well enough at this point that Tony Bennett's not to be doubted, no matter what's on his roster.
We've got Brant Wilkerson New from the Greensboro News and Record on the line with us here on the Rundown. You can actually read all of Brant Wilkerson New's work in not just the Greensboro News and Record, but I'm seeing you over in the Winston-Salem Journal also. So you can actually catch him on either site. You can get to all these roster analysis, all four of the ACC Big Four that he put out throughout the course of this week. I did one more question for you, Brant, and then we can let you go. There's a guy on UNC's squad that I feel like is going to take that leap. It feels like every year there's one guy that goes from freshman to sophomore year or sophomore year to junior year, and they just have this tremendous leap in the offseason. And we've seen that in the past with Luke May. We've seen it in the past with Bryce Johnson. And I think this upcoming year it's going to be Leaky Black. I really like his game. He had a lot of injuries last year. But what are your expectations for him if he has a fully healthy year in 2019-20?
Yeah, Leaky Black is absolutely the guy on that roster that I am expecting to become a star this season. And, I'm surprised. Obviously, I'm not surprised. I think it would have happened last year more so if he had not gotten injured. But, he came up as one. He was the top point guard in North Carolina when he committed to Roy in Carolina, and he went down to Montverde before coming back to play at Coxmill his senior year, and he just kept growing. So, he's size-wise, he fits in as a wing, but he absolutely has the instincts in the game of a point guard, and it's pretty obvious that the comparison is Theo Pinson, and he's just a guy that makes plays, and he makes everyone around him a lot better. And he talked we've talked to Roy Williams about this in the past and asked him, hey, you know, do you see the kind of Theo comparison? He said, yeah, that totally. But he actually thinks that Leaky Black is going to be a better defender because, you know, he's long. And I absolutely agree with that. I think Leaky Black is going to be a really great player for Carolina this year. And I think it's going to be very beneficial at times to have him kind of move into that point guard role and let Cole Anthony play off the ball and look for his shots and kind of conserve his energy, because he's going to be the guy that's looked to for scoring. So Leaky Black is going to kind of be that Swiss Army knife, do everything kind of guy for Carolina.
Brant, I want to sometime before the summer's over invite you up to the studio on a Saturday morning. I know that we have you on the Drive with Josh Graham frequently. I want to invite you on to the panel sometime later in the summer before you start getting busy again when basketball kicks off. And I know you're going to be impossible to have in here on a Saturday, but definitely want to extend the invitation. We'll definitely talk to you again soon. Great information from Brant Wilkerson, new here. I will be in touch with you and we'll get that set up and see if we can get you to come in and sit on the panel for an hour and cut up with us.
Absolutely, dude. Anytime.
All right. That's Brant Wilkerson, new from the Greensboro News and Record. Definitely check out his work online at greensboro.com and at journalnow.com in their sports section there. But coming up, the King of the North, Kawhi Leonard, has requested a meeting. Who will be in that meeting and what exactly does that mean for the NBA's future going forward? Next on the Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
If you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash over this holiday week coming up, it's a short week for everybody. You can see them for only $7. Go to the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal right now. SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Premium home plate seats for the Winston-Salem Dash homestand July the 5th through the 7th. These tickets, if you buy them through that website, are only $7. They are a $16 value. The instructions are there. Limited supply available. Go get your tickets right now and enjoy the Dash from July the 5th through the 7th. And we're going to get back into the NBA here. You're listening to The Rundown. Desmond Johnson, I am your host. Haskell Shelton from SportsCarolinaMonthly.com in the house. Ryan Stone from IMG in the house. Got Sawyer Dillon and Aaron Gabriel in the house. Actually, let's get a quick check on our poll question of the day. What's up with our poll again, Aaron? It was who deserves the most blame if Kemba leaves Charlotte, Michael Jordan, Kemba, or Mitch Kupchak?
According to our listening public, who deserves the most blame if Kemba Walker leaves the Hornets via free agency? Michael Jordan is still in a commanding lead with 83% of the vote.
Ouch.
17% say Kemba Walker. Nobody apparently blames old Mitch.
Wow. So nobody blames Mitch Kupchak for this.
How do you blame Kemba?
Mitch coming off clean.
How do you blame Kemba?
For wanting to leave. Been in the playoffs twice in like 8 years. Like, what am I supposed to do here? So let's talk a little Kawhi. It was reported yesterday late that on Friday that Kawhi Leonard has requested a meeting with the Los Angeles Lakers owner Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson, who has nothing to do with anything right now, apparently, regarding his free agency. Kawhi has Toronto last on his list to see him in L.A. before he makes a decision, which may not even come until after July the 6th. I ask my panel, if the Lakers land Kawhi Leonard, they will have three of the top five players on Earth on the same team. Is this good or bad for the NBA?
I think it's good for the NBA, quite frankly. I mean, the NBA is a marketing machine. And so when they take a look at teams, they have historically loved to, you know, I think the Toronto Raptors was a good story for them. Mm-hmm. But, in their dream world, they've got the Lakers and the Celtics in every finals.
Oh, because, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it sells ads and they love to, they are promotion machines. So, you know, if they do this, they're going to start making Christmas Day commercials, and they're already going to have the Lakers schedule made up, playing that game on Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever.
I touched on this yesterday when I was guest hosting The Drive about how the NBA has one of the rivalries of the ages ingrained into its fabric, and it's the Lakers versus the Celtics, and the league is better when the Lakers and Celtics are relevant. And I was trying to push against this notion that the Knicks are in the same arena as the Lakers and the Celtics in terms of nostalgia and everything, or the Clippers or any of these other teams that these guys are looking at. No, they're not. It's the Lakers, it's the Celtics, and it's everybody else. And it's been that way for 50-plus years in the NBA. And even if
– it may have been a time we could throw the Knicks in there, but that's about it.
The 70s? They haven't won a championship since 73, and they haven't been in the finals since 94. And And again, we remember that finals more so for watching OJ escape down a freeway than we do, you know, them against the Rockets. So it's this whole notion that these guys are like really looking at the Knicks seriously. I don't buy it. Like their entire lives, they've looked at the Knicks as a team that not the same vein as say like the Bulls or the Lakers or the Celtics or the Spurs or even now the Warriors. Like even the Warriors had two titles before Splash Brothers showed up there. So, I mean, for Kawhi, people are also forgetting 2 years ago, he requested a trade to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Where he wanted to go. You mean,
I don't think it can be a bad thing for the NBA because this is going to give you another must-watch team. It's another must-watch team, a must-go-see, a must-experience.
The ratings type go of team. Up when the there's ratings, one team that everybody's chasing, no matter, even with all the complaints. People like seeing either a villain or even, you know what's crazy? Like when they added Durant to Golden State kind of became this team nobody wanted to cheer for unless you were already cheering for them. I don't remember that happening with the second three-peat Bulls. Like, I don't remember people looking at the Bulls as like a villain type team. They were treated like the Beatles, you know?
I remember a lot of people rooting against them.
I was a Pistons fan. I can assure you the state of Michigan thought that they were.
I mean, as a whole, like,
I rooted against them.
It felt like the majority was rooting against Golden State, you know, as this was going on this year. I don't remember that feeling in 96 with the 72-win Bulls. It was more of a everyone was rooting them on type of thing. Well, the majority were rooting them on to see if they could break the record. Right.
Keep in mind for the Warriors, this was the fourth year, essentially. So, I mean, this is towards the end of they're tired of the Warriors.
I do have a question, though. So, let's say, just for the point right now, the Lakers end up having LeBron, AD, and Kawhi Leonard.
Oof.
I don't know how many players they're going to have on that team, but how important do you guys think it is to have that depth on your team, because they're not going to be able to get, I mean, they're not going to have a bench, basically. I mean, it's going to be, they said there's guys lining up to get like the minimum, but like, how good do you think that bench has to be for them to be like, you know, like clear title, like runners?
It has to be formidable, because we've seen that with, you know, I saw what the Raptors did this year.
I point back to
the 2011-2012 Miami Heat, because this is literally the exact same way they were built.
That was a formidable bench, though. They had shooters.
They had Haslam and Chalmers was starting. They had Birdman on that team.
They had guys that could contribute coming off the bench.
But they were all castaways before
that. How many games do you think you get out of LeBron James next year?
I think he's going to play 70-plus.
No.
Why won't
he? I would guess 65.
I mean,
60 at the most.
He might sit load management for about 15 of those games.
60 at the most.
But if he's got Anthony Davis and a second max player on the team, then I don't expect him to play 82 games. I expect him to keep him resting.
No, Kawhi will sit.
Yeah, Kawhi's going to play 65 games. Yeah. Like, you're getting 65 out of Kawhi. That's probably about it. Now, AD is injury prone. Well, I don't want to say injury prone. He's had injuries the past couple of years.
You just proved you need a bench. They need a bench.
But where are you going to get it? Like, even if you don't sign a third max guy, $32 million isn't enough to build the kind of bench that y'all are talking about. Like, I mean, that's going to go to like three guys.
There's some guys you can get on the mid-level. There's some guys that'll take the minimum.
But you can get those guys with the third max guy, can't you? I mean, you still have a mid-level exception. You're going to have vet minimums that don't count against the cap. You can still build a bench. It's just a matter of what vets are out there that are willing to take the vet minimum.
With the 32, you can get better role players.
You can
get guys that don't necessarily have to get on the minimum. You can pursue like a DeMarcus Cousins for a year, or you know, a Bogdanovich out of Indiana.
If I'm Boogie, I'm staying in Golden State, to be honest.
It's a good opportunity for him this year to stay. Yeah. But do keep in mind, and why I say Boogie specifically is because the year before he was in New Orleans playing with Anthony Davis. He was an all-star when he was playing with Anthony Davis.
He was right there on the verge of getting a max himself.
And they were on the verge of being a 4 or 5 seed in the Western Conference before that injury. So him playing next to Anthony Davis, I think, would be a big benefit for him. And the Lakers, I don't think they want Anthony Davis to play the center position. So they need a center, in my opinion. They need a center.
I am all for bringing JaVale McGee back. He said he had his best year with LeBron last year. You could probably get him for probably that mid-level exception.
What's J.R. Smith doing these days?
He's been rumored about bringing him in because his management's clutch management, whatever.
Bring Swaggy P back to the Lakers.
So, I mean, they're going to just rebuild the Cleveland team and bring Jordan Clarkson signed with clutch this past week. So, I mean, they're just going to bring these guys that were with LeBron in Cleveland that got traded from the Lakers back over.
That doesn't sound like a great idea.
So, right now, they have Kuz, right?
Right.
Kuz is still on the team.
Which I think mean,
that's all they got. They got AD, LeBron, and Kuzma. I believe are the only three they got.
Is Caldwell Pope still on, or is he?
No, he was unrestricted. So
but they could get him probably on the mid level.
I don't know. I don't know if I want him back.
They don't. They don't
made $12 million last year, and he didn't really play very well last year for what they were paying him. I'd rather find someone else to give that money to, but. He's still out there. I mean, well,
what I was saying, out there, but. What I was saying about, you know, if you don't get the third superstar, and I didn't get to finish, but you, DeMarcus Cousins, you could pursue him. You could pursue like a J.J. Redick or a Danny Green, something like that, as your shooter as well. So, I mean, you could get three pretty good role players.
Here's my issue with that. Say they don't go after a third max guy, and they do offer J.J. or Danny Green or some of these guys, and the market outprices them. Like J.J. Redick might be able to get $15 million in the open market.
Yeah,
you know, what do they do then? Because at that point, all those big max guys are gone, and now you're dealing with AD, LeBron, and you're really messing with the dwindling bench because you waited, because you tried to build it instead of just going to get the third guy and filling it in.
If I was the Lakers, I would get the third guy. That's honestly what I would do. Because
who's the third guy, I guess, is the question.
I mean, I think... If you got a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, man, I know that's the crazy part.
I can't sit here and go, well, I don't want Kawhi Leonard because that'll be too much talent, and I don't know if I can handle all that talent. I don't know what to say about it.
I don't think you pass on getting Kawhi Leonard because I mean, I think that's a once in a generation type of team.
You guys think he's going there? Like right now, be honest. Do you think Kawhi is going to the Lakers?
Honestly,
like,
I think
off the top of your head, you think that's
right now? I would say Toronto.
Out of Kawhi, Kyrie, and Kimba, I think Kawhi has the best shot to end up in the LA.
Out of those three?
Yeah. Like,
I would really say that's probably true. But I think Jimmy Butler could end up in LA.
I think Jimmy's like a secondary like guy. But see, Jimmy's not acting like he's a secondary guy.
But Jimmy would fit great as the third guy.
I think he would. Now, you think he would kind of take a step back and be the third guy? Because Jimmy doesn't seem like he's wired that way. He seems like he would want to be known as like,
I think as long as Jimmy's got guys playing with him that do their job, I think he's fine.
See, that's how I kind of feel Kawhi is. I feel like Kawhi wouldn't necessarily take a step back. Kawhi knows how to play within the game. So, like, he can – and we watched him do this during the finals.
Kawhi lets the game come to him.
Yeah,
unless he needs to take over, then he will.
So, it's like it's one of those situations where, like, if you need him to take over a ball game, he's more than capable of doing it. But he doesn't necessarily have to score 29 a game. But it feels like he'll score 35, and it didn't feel like he scored 35. Like he's
efficient.
Yeah, he's very efficient. Man, I'm talking myself into Kawhi Leonard going to L.A.
I mean, if you get a chance.
How hard is that conversation?
Dude, it should be that hard. It should be a hard conversation.
I mean, I was just like, man, do we really want him in?
Right now, though, I would say my guess would be he stays in Toronto.
That would be the best thing for him.
I don't know how I don't think he signs a long deal there, though. I think he does maybe the one plus one.
Yeah, due to Durant, LeBron, one-on-one deal.
I think he tries to run it back. If they don't run it back,
Gasol's already opted back in.
He goes somewhere else.
If Gasol opts back in, they've got the money to bring everybody back.
Well, and they've got Siakam on a rookie deal. They've got Van Vliet on a rookie deal.
Keep Danny Green because they'll have the money for it.
Lowry's locked up.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, to me, the best option would be to sign a one-on-one with Toronto.
The only guy they'd have to re-sign is Danny Green.
Yeah, and they got the money to do it. Plus, at that point, too, if he does a one-on-one, if I'm not mistaken, when he comes out of that, he would be in his 10th year in the league, and then he would qualify for one of these $250 million Supermax deals. I'm trying to figure out how Chris Paul convinced the league to do this with allowing players past 10 years in the league to get these Supermax. It's the weirdest, most backwards thing if you really think about it.
You want to talk about something that would be a you brought up Chris Paul, so if you want to talk about something that would be a disaster – Jimmy Butler with the Rockets would be a disaster.
That's you know what I didn't write that down, but I did want to talk about that.
That would be an absolute circus.
How could they get? They would. My understanding is that Philly would have to sign.
They would have to sign Butler
a 5-year.
Basically, Jimmy Butler would have to go to the Sixers.
Yeah,
and say
trade me.
I want you. You have to trade me essentially.
And then Houston would have to send back like
Capella, Gordon,
Tucker. But who's left on that team? It's the same situation. Like, you got Jimmy Butler, a 40-year-old Chris Paul.
I cannot fathom Jimmy Butler playing with James Harden.
Yeah,
I cannot, or playing for Mike D'Antoni.
I don't understand how that would work either.
Like, do we forget how he got out of Minnesota? Why he wanted out of Minnesota? Like, how is he going to play with James Harden?
They won't have anybody left. This is what's happened now, and LeBron kind of set this template with the Miami Heat teams where you get two or three guys and just fill in the blanks with everyone else, and you ride with those top 10 guys at the top of your roster.
What the Heat did that first year, they didn't have a great bench.
No, they didn't.
I mean, they lost to the Mavericks in the finals.
Yeah.
But they had a better bench the second year.
And
what you do is you get the three stars, and you just got to ride with it for that first year, and then...
And the fourth year... Dwayne Wade started breaking down physically,
and Chris Bosh did too.
So, I mean, it was really more that. I mean, I don't know. Let me talk a little bit more about the Kevin Durant injury. How much did that really affect Kyrie Irving's options? Because I feel like they were kind of attached to the hip, and now it feels like Kyrie is almost going to be the odd man out, because if Brooklyn doesn't want him by himself, which I can see, because I don't think he's that much better in their system than D'Angelo Russell was.
I would not. If I'm Brooklyn and Kevin Durant's not coming, I'm bringing back D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
I am not bringing in Kyrie Irving to the same situation he was in Boston with a bunch of young players.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with that, too. And then...
does anyone actually like Kyrie Irving?
Dude, he's one of the most unlikable people.
He does it to himself.
He does. He's he's an enigma.
I didn't like him. I mean, you know what school he went to. He went to Duke. Well, sort of. He was there for like 8 months. He wasn't really even there.
Dude, he was probably there for a month.
Nine games for Duke or whatever, and Duke fans claim him. So I hate him for that. That Duke fans claim him, and he played like 11 games for that season or something, and actually ruined their chemistry when he came back.
He did. Yeah.
He's been doing this since we've known Kyrie Irving. The only reason why it worked in Cleveland is because he looked up to LeBron James. Like
he wanted out.
Then
the man said he didn't want to play with LeBron James anymore.
Then he saw how hard that was.
This is the dude.
And now he wants another new team.
This is the dude that didn't want to play with LeBron James.
Yeah.
The guy that makes the game easier for everybody.
He was getting more shots to LeBron.
Exactly.
I mean, during those stretches. He took the last shot in that finals game, that game 7. It was Kyrie that hit that 3.
Then he went to a talent-rich team in Boston. They made it further without him.
And flamed out. Like it. I don't know, man. Kyrie Irving's one of these guys. I don't know what to do with him.
And I feel like him, the whole narrative that's come out about him not liking living in Boston, I feel like that's just a convenient thing for him
that's
to say.
Crazy. Well, that's the craziest. First of all, Boston convenient. Is an awesome town.
It's
unbelievable. And it is probably one of the most fanatical sports towns.
They are very devoted. I mean,
you can like them, love them, hate them, whatever you want to do. But if you're in Boston and you do your job, you are the man.
I think it's just that's just a convenient narrative that his team is putting out there.
That narrative is out there about Boston.
It's been there for a long time.
Rod Funderburk from the Rundown, he's mentioned before. Yeah. He's been in Boston and had friends tell him, "Well, you can't go to that bar, you can't go to that pub, or whatever."
Yeah.
That's been there. They had busing situations back in the day. But for him to say that. Or for it to come out after the season. Like, I mean, that doesn't really...
It's just convenient.
That makes it sounds like he's trying to get like the blame off of him or whatever. But I got to do this one thing real quick before we hit our next break. 1 minute with Aaron. I took the intern label off of you. We still didn't come up with your official new name. It was Aaron Fantastic or something like that.
I can't remember what you said before. Aaron.
Associate Aaron. Sounds like a guy that works at the law firm like over here next door to us. I've got a question for you for 1 minute with Aaron here. Are you ready? Go with this. Who will be the two teams in the 2020 NBA Finals?
Oh, here we go.
Fantastic. Just want to ask me that before free agents.
Yeah. Make it hard. Right. Make it hard on you.
That's all right.
So you got to cut. It's almost a multi-layered question.
That's fine. No worries. Not worried about it.
You got this.
Because I'm going with a lock. Whoever Kawhi Leonard decides to play for is going to the NBA Finals.
So that includes the Lakers then, right?
That includes the Lakers. Whoever the claw goes,
I agree with you.
I'm lacing up my sneakers, my New Balances for you guys.
But that wasn't the who will be the two teams in the finals?
The second team would be, man, I don't fucking know, man. It's crazy. It's like a couple days before free agency. What do you want me to do here? This free agency is going
to
turn everything upside down.
Analysis here.
I'm going to sit here and be like, I'm going to say the 76ers and everybody's going to leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, I mean, if Tobias and Jimmy Butler leave the Sixers and Kawhi leaves the Raptors.
Man, I wrote this like 11 o'clock last night. You got to excuse me. I feel like we've all been here, like me, Sawyer, and Aaron in particular. We've just been here at the studio, like, me and Sawyer in particular, like all week long. And then yesterday, it just feels like we should have just spent the night here and saved the gas
it's
money.
Been Monday to Saturday.
Yeah. So we've just been in here like all week. So I threw that in there. I was like, well, he'll be able to give me two teams. That won't be no problem. Didn't think about free agency. Didn't think about half of 40% of the league is going to be free agents, so we don't even know what teams are going to look like. But
we know the Hornets won't be there.
The Hornets, we know the Hornets are probably not going to be in the 2020 finals.
That's my hot take.
The Hornets making it to the championship. The Hornets, the Hornets will have the. Here's one good thing.
The G League, right?
That's a Disney movie right there.
Here's one good thing that'll come from Kemba leaving. The Hornets will be in the mix for the number one pick, and Michael Jordan will find a way to screw that up too.
There's no one to get. That's the most frustrating thing about all of this. If you're going to do this, why did you wait till now? I would have been fine with it if you let him go. Everyone would have been mad, would have missed the playoffs, maybe would have got a lottery pick, and then got like R.J. Barrett or lo and behold, Zion Williamson, who grew up 60 miles away from Charlotte or whatever. That wouldn't have been a feel-good story for them to rebuild this franchise on. But no, you had to have Kemba be the face of the franchise during the All-Star game that you hosted.
To make the AC.
To try to make the eighth seed, yeah. And you couldn't even do that. And then the team that did make the eighth seed ended up getting destroyed by Milwaukee in the first round. I feel like Charlotte would have put up a better fight.
Here's the good news for the Hornets fans. They will be bad for so long that they will have a shot at Bronny James.
Oh, gosh.
So get ready.
Can Michael bring Bronny and LeBron to Charlotte?
What is he, like a junior in high school?
So no, he's entering his freshman year.
Oh, my God. So we're talking about like 8 years or at least four? 5 years.
Let's get Dwayne Wade's son, too.
Well, no, they're talking about the year Bronny comes out. That might be the year they can go from high school to the NBA.
By that point, at least we won't have Nick Batum's contract around our neck anymore. Well, unless they re-sign him, which is the way everything seems to be heading this way. They'll just sign him to a max deal for 5 years. Be like, oh, he's going to turn it around. We got faith in Nick Batum. All right, I'm wore out. Thanks, Ryan, for coming in first hour.
It's been a good show.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I say this every Saturday, and I'm starting to feel like I'm jinxing the fans at Bowman Gray because I said this last Saturday. I looked out the window. It was sunny. It was bright. I thought they were going to get some racing in. I think they did get racing in last Saturday, actually. So we're going to check the board, give you the leaders for that heading to the races tonight. I actually have the track announcer, the voice of Bowman Gray, Randy Pettit. He's going to come in and sit with us for the next hour. And we're going to talk to the voice of the Dash, Joe Weil, in our Get to Know Joe segment. Plus, our new segment, Rundown Hot Takes. Each of us will give one hot take on what we think will happen in the world of sports. Next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Who are the franchise players? Myself, Rod Funderburk, Johnny O, Haskell Shelton bring you a new sports podcast weekly, Franchise Players. The first episode is currently available live from the NBA Draft. If I'm not mistaken, Rod is actually in Kentucky on assignment right now, so that's why he's not here today. But I believe he's coming back this weekend. I think we're going to have a new episode, NBA Free Agent Fallout, early this upcoming week before the 4th. So definitely check for that. Search and download the Franchise Players Sports Podcast from Spotify, Google, Apple, and, of course, SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. You are locked into The Rundown. Hour number two, myself, Haskell Shelton in the house. We are now joined by friend of the program, Randy Pettit. He is the Bowman Gray track announcer, if I'm not mistaken. He's been on with us a couple times before talking Bowman Gray. What's going on, Randy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Fresh off a night at Ace Speedway in right outside of Burlington. A lot of action there last night. And contrary to popular belief, I did not sleep in the parking lot out here. And got a little bit of sleep and drove in. We got a big, big night headed at the Matt House tonight. Looks like the weather's going to be great. It's going to be hot. But, hey, this summertime, man, bring it on.
And we've talked about the guys here with the Franchise Players podcast. We've talked about coming there. We've talked about doing a podcast out there. Sometime this summer, want to go on a Saturday, probably right after the Rundown, go set up. And just you said it's like a kind of a tailgate type atmosphere sometimes out there, correct?
So. It is. There's teams over there practicing right now, and many of the teams actually, some of them stay there all day.
Oh, okay.
They'll go take a nap in their hauler. Fans start rolling in. They're marking their territory. It's general admission at Bowman Gray. So if you got a place you like to sit every Saturday night, if you don't want to have to get there and wait in line when the gates are open, folks bring blankets and trash bags and whatever they can to mark off their spots.
Wow.
And you better not sit in somebody else's seat, man, or you're going to have a fight.
I grew up in this area. I'm 41 years old. I've never been to a Bowman Gray Saturday night, so I'm definitely interested in going. We'll set something up and head out that way and maybe bring a grill or something and just have a, you know,
sounds like
big
we need to make a place to mark our seats.
Yeah, we might have to get there a little bit earlier and we'll get you guys the rundown from there remotely too, and then we can just roll right into it and have a spot.
We'll get you guys VIP treatment, man.
We're gonna
roll out the red carpet for you and give you 100% dose of the madhouse.
I think Rod has been there before. I know Johnny O has not been, so it'll be experience from him because he's from Syracuse. So I don't think he's been to anything like this before.
Stadium.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Wall Stadium on steroids, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely
going to
do
that. That's in New Jersey.
Let's run through the scoreboard here. The point standings going into tonight's contest here. In the modified series, Tim Brown is your leader with 257 points. James Savali is right behind him at 250. In the sportsman series, Justin Taylor is your leader at 317. Kyle Southern is in second place at 305. In the street stock series, Jeremy Warren is your leader right now, the 97 car, 322 points. Jacob Creed is in second place with 312. And stadium stock, AJ Sanders is your leader at 260. Chuck Wall, the 81 car, is your second place driver at 248 points. Heading into contest tonight, gates open pretty early, right? Gates open pretty early. The races start at 8
o'clock. Gates open at 6 o'clock. That's right.
Gates open at 6. Races begin at 8 o'clock. If you haven't got a chance to go over there, definitely go and check them out over at Bowman Gray Stadium later on today. We do have Joe Weil, voice of the Winston-Salem Dash, on the line with us right now. Our weekly segment with Joe, Get to Know Joe, where we basically ask Joe random-ass questions about himself so the public can learn more about him. Joe, what's going on, man?
How you doing? What's going on, Des?
Pretty good, pretty good. Didn't get a chance to talk to you this past Thursday because Josh Graham has been traveling across the state documenting his quote-unquote staycation. He has been all over. He went to Greenville. He was in Charlotte one night. I think I saw him back in Winston yesterday watching the Women's World Cup. So we didn't get a chance to do our normal Thursday segment with you, but wanted to basically ask you in terms of where you are right now. Where are you right now in the world, Joe? Are you guys on the road right now?
So the team's on the road right now. They have a 7-game road trip. They're actually at Salem right now, and they're going to head after that to Kinston. This is my one time, just like Josh, every once in a while gets a chance to get away from the show. This is my one road trip off this year.
I was going to say, you said they are off somewhere. I'm like, you're not with them?
Yeah. No, so this is my one road trip off. I was like, should I just say I'm there so I don't confuse anybody? But I'm an honest man, so
yeah.
Anyway, I'm in Winston-Salem right now. Hell, we're actually getting ready for July 4th, and that's the reason I'm staying back. So the team's in Salem right now, and then they got a trip to Down East right after that. So in the world, I am in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay, so our question for the day for Joe and Get to Know Joe, where again we just basically ask you random questions each week so the public can get to know you a little bit better. What is Joe Weil's favorite meal when coming off the road? When you're off on one of these 7-game road trips or whatnot, and you get back to Winston-Salem, what's the meal that's your go-to meal, whether it's a home-cooked meal or you can give a shout-out to a favorite restaurant here in the area that has something that you just have to have when you come back into town? What's that meal, Joe?
So I'm gonna go. It's a tie between Bibb's, so my favorite barbecue spot, and as a Northeast guy, I did not know what to expect when it came to barbecue when I moved down to Winston-Salem. But that's my favorite barbecue spot. That's a place I feel like I need to go to at least once every 2 weeks. Now the other spot I actually went to last night is Quanto Basta downtown.
I love the Italian food.
I was gonna say great spot they have over there. They're usually treat me and my girlfriend so great, and the food there is exceptional. Their desserts are really good too. If you have like one meal that you want to just go all out on per month, that's the one I would choose because I think it's delicious.
I haven't eaten at Quanto Basta in a long time. I'm trying to remember. Is it like, would you put it above Olive Garden level?
Yes. Oh yeah. 100%.
Why are you looking at me like
their chicken marsala? Best chicken marsala I've ever had.
Wow.
And not only that, they serve it with this pasta too. So that was pretty nice. And actually what made the meal great yesterday is my girlfriend and I, last night or 2 nights ago, I got us Chinese food. So last night's meal was on her. So she paid for it. So it was nice. So it didn't hurt my wallet.
Got Joe Weil on the line, voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. You can actually catch the Dash. I'm looking to see what they've been doing here. They had a 5-run eighth inning that pushed them past the Red Sox. Looks like yesterday they were trailing 2-1 in the top of the eighth, and then they sent 10 men to the plate and scored 5 runs. They won 6-2. They are still on the road taking on the Salem Red Sox tonight, or today, I should say. I'm trying to get a time for that game. Here we go.
6:05. And then it's they have one more game. It's an early afternoon game on Sunday.
Fantastic. So we will talk to you again in our normal time next Saturday, Joe. Enjoy your vacation, and we'll be talking to you again here this upcoming week.
All right. Thanks, Des.
Thanks, man. So let's get real quick into Rundown Hot Takes. This is basically our section where each one of us gives one hot take of something that's going to happen in the world of sports or in the world of media in the next 7 days. Go ahead and give me my theme music, Sawyer, for this, and let's get going.
You're listening to The Rundown.
Hot. Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot. Hot. Hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot.
With Desmond Johnson.
Let's go ahead and get this thing started because I'm pressed on time. Everyone got a hot take that they're willing to give, and I'm going to start off with the newcomer, Randy Pettit.
All right, now I'm a racing guy, but I've got you an NBA tip.
Let's go.
Here's a hot tip. Boogie is going to reunite with Anthony Davis with the Lakers.
Ooh.
There you go.
I came in here with some fire. Like right off the bat. Okay, I'm feeling you. Aaron, what's up?
Hot taken?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I come up with one off the top of the dome here. I'm going to go to my wish list.
All right.
Tyreek Hill will not serve a single game of suspension this coming season in the NFL.
Tyreek Hill for – wait, hold on, what?
Yeah, no suspensions for Tyreek Hill.
How is that going to happen?
Not really moral, but we still give him the horse.
Hey, you didn't ask for a morality take. You asked for a hot take.
Wait a minute. How is that even going to happen? Okay, I can't – I'm not supposed to question the hot takes. I'm just – I don't know how that's going to, like, legally happen.
Start week one, baby.
What you got, Haskell?
I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers hot take, predict that we win the NFC South and our 12-win team.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, yeah, I like that music.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Sawyer.
All right. LeBron James' Space Jam 2 will be just as good as the original Space Jam.
That's a hot one right there. That's wow. I'm gonna piggyback off of that. Space Jam 2 will have a cameo from Michael Jordan in it. Unannounced. He'll just show up at the end, like he'll get off the spaceship or something and be like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? And they'll be like, hey, that's Michael Jordan. And then the end.
I got a question. What is it with you and Olive Garden?
What you mean?
Yeah, why are you hating on it?
I'm not hating on Olive Garden. I'm hating on Olive Garden. Yeah, Aaron's the one that hates Olive Garden.
That's what I'm saying. Why are you hating on Olive Garden?
Subpar establishment.
What are you going to say? Applebee's and Chili's?
No, man, those are all trash, too. They might as well put a drive-through window on the side of them.
He's got a, what do you call it? You have a,
I have a distinguished palate.
Distinguished palate. Olive Garden, to me, is just fine. Although, I had a Carrabba's 2 weeks ago. For Father's Day, I took a lasagna, like one of those family pans, over to my mom and dad's house, and we crushed that. It was good. Like, matter of fact, I'm thinking about Olive Garden right now. Now that I'm talking about
it. I think you went for the unlimited soup and salad, and they didn't bring you an extra salad, and now you got a grudge match.
I got a personal vendetta.
Yeah, they don't bring you the extra breadsticks when you ask
them. My breadsticks.
Hey, when you're at Olive Garden, you're family, okay? That's what it's supposed to be. Even though the last time I had Olive Garden was when they had that gigantic thing going on where like it was like supersized meals and it was like a oversized chicken parm, but the piece of chicken that came out literally was like 3 feet long and we couldn't figure out like what part of the chicken was this that made this piece that's in front of me. Oh, well, it's got cheese and sauce on it, so I just kind of
went it together.
And Aaron was making fun of me because for like literally the entire week after I ate it, like my stomach was tore up and we couldn't figure out if it was from Olive Garden.
Yeah, eating that chicken.
That chicken back.
Oh, pressed grilled chicken back.
I mean, it came out like someone had ran over a piece of meat with a tire. Like it was just this long breaded piece of chicken. Like it didn't even look like two pieces put together. It looked like one long piece. So stay away from that if you go to Olive Garden.
What you got?
I got another one for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey.
Breaking news. Now, there's already one modified driver running in the Cup Series in Ryan Preece,
yep,
who is a former winner at the Madhouse Bowman Gray Stadium. Well, we've got another of our fan favorites, a fella that's born in New Hampshire, lives here in the South now, has raced with us many times at Bowman Gray, but Andy Seiss will get to drive in the Monster Energy Cup Series at New Hampshire. That'll be his first Cup start. Nice. And I know all the Bowman Gray fans listening this morning are going to wish Andy really well.
Wow.
So there's another hot take.
That's a huge deal. Yeah, for sure. Man.
What's a hot take on Bowman Gray food? What do folks like to cook out when they're tailgating? What
Well,
do you see
when
of?
I was a kid, my favorite thing was to get French fries, and then you drizzle some vinegar on them, sprinkle a little salt on them. Vinegar. That was my favorite. A lot of people will bootleg in food from Bibbs, and they'll go down the street to Kermit's Hot Dog House and sneak something in. But there's a lot more variety in the food now at Bowman Gray. And, you know, there's ice cream and lemonade, cotton candy, candy apples, all the stuff you like when you go to the Dixie Classic Fair. We've got it at Bowman Gray,
man.
We
I'm
got
excited.
You covered.
I want to when we go, I want to really do it big and have, like I said, have a grill out for us. And we'll do the show. We'll have a table set up at the tent and everything else. Have maybe some drivers come by, like, and just really, really just kind of spotlight something that to me is like a gem to have in Winston-Salem.
Just don't come next Saturday, Desmond. You know why?
What's happening next Saturday?
Because Bowman Gray will not be racing next Saturday. You'll be the only one.
We'll just
there.
Be out of the parking lot by ourselves. That's Where is right. everybody? We told them we were coming, but let me do this. Let me take a quick break. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to have Carolina Cobras head coach Billy back with us on the Rundown hot seat when we come back. And we'll talk to him. They're on the road. They're taking on the Orlando Predators this Sunday at 5:30. We'll get you information on how you can watch that game. And we'll talk to head coach Billy Back of the defending NAL champion Carolina Cobras when we come back next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Welcome back to the Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, Haskell Shelton, Randy Pettit sitting in the house with us, Sawyer Dillon and Aaron Gabriel manning the ship. We're unable to get in touch with head coach Billy Back of the Carolina Cobras, but have no fear. I had something in my side pocket just in case that happened. He had told me that they were going to be on a bus on their way to Orlando for their game against the Predators Sunday at 5:30. If I'm not mistaken, you can watch that on, I think it's My 48. I think they've been doing all the Cobra games this year, so... you can check that out there, or you can go to YouTube and check them out. The defending National Arena League champion Carolina Cobras, they are two games from clinching another playoff spot and defending their crown. There was a topic I wanted to talk about when I first started writing this for show for today that I took out, and I want to bring it back in, and that's the subject of unbreakable sports records. There's some records in sports that will never be broken, and this kind of got sparked by our conversation last week that we had in here. Regarding the 1998 home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, where McGwire ended up with 70 home runs. Then 3 years later, Barry Bonds breaks that with 73 home runs. And at the time, last Saturday and today, I was saying that's a record that will never be broken, because unless they legalize steroids or something in baseball again, no one's ever going to get to 73 home runs in a single game season. What are some of the other records that are out there in any of these sports that you guys feel like are just unbreakable records that will never be broken again?
I got a couple of them in baseball, starting with my Tigers. Denny McClain, 31-6 record in 1968. Now you've got in the modern day, you don't even have pitchers starting. If they're healthy all season, 35 starts is a pretty good number, 35, 36, 37 starts. So I don't see anybody winning 31. My second one would be Cal Ripken, 2,632 games consecutively played without being injured.
Oh, yeah. That's
And the way that we're starting to kind of rest players with load management, the new buzzword for taking a day off, I don't see that happening. And then wins, Cy Young, 511. Way, way, way above the
pack. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get near that.
If you hit 300, you're in the Hall of Fame, so I don't see anybody winning another 200. Above that 300 win mark, which is pretty sacred right now.
Gosh, that's so. Cy Young has 94 more wins than any other pitcher in Major League Baseball history. And in his day, there was no such thing as a pitch count. So there's no telling how many pitches he was throwing per game.
He's also got the record for innings pitched, games started, complete games, and he's got the record for losses. Gosh. I mean, you could almost argue that all of those are unbreakable.
Yeah. Crazy. What you got, Randy? You got something?
Well, I've got two. Of course, being a racing guy, the most obvious one, the King Richard Petty, 200 victories at the major league level. And there's been a lot of talk on Facebook and social media about Kyle Busch, who won 200 NASCAR Touring Series victories. But, you know, that's the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series. The King won 200 in the big leagues, and nobody's ever going to touch that.
I didn't know that.
That's the obvious one. Now, here's a little more obscure fact. The first champion of Bowman Gray Stadium in 1949 was Tim Flock. And Tim was a big league driver back in the early days, and he actually has the highest winning percentage of anybody that, you know, had any significant amount of starts in what is now the Monster Energy Cup Series. Get this. This guy won 40 races and 189 starts. So he won over 21% of the time that he suited up in the race car. And nobody's ever going to top that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And one other interesting fact about Tim Flock, he's the only driver to ever race in a big league race with a monkey chained to his roll bar.
Wow. What?
Wow. A monkey, yeah. Wow. He had a Reese's monkey.
That's some Ricky Bobby stuff right there.
It's a true story. He had, just for publicity, they had a Reese's monkey chained to the roll cage of his car, and he drove several races with that monkey, and the monkey's name was Jocko Flacco. And that's a fact, Jack.
I'm going to go NBA. Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points in a single game. Devin Booker scored 70 a couple years ago. And that felt like he took a whole lot of work to get to 70. To score 100 in a game, I'm not sure if we'll even be able to see that ever again. Actually, I think we've got the coach back on the line now. Got coach back on the line from the Carolina Cobras. They are on the road taking on the Orlando Predators this Sunday at 5:30. Back in May, the Predators shocked the Cobras 74-69 in what is still the highest scoring game in NAL history. Coach back, friend of the program. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man? Are you there? There. Well, I think I got you now. Are you there, coach back?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Thanks for giving us a quick call. I've been meaning to get you on all season, and I know you guys have been busy and there's been all kinds of stuff going on. But wanted to talk to you a little bit about season two of the Carolina Cobras. Talk to us a little bit about the transition from year one of the Cobras franchise to now in year two, after winning the NAL championship last year and now kind of being the quote-unquote hunted, so to speak, around the league.
Well, yeah, it's been a good transition. You know, our off season was full of, you know, celebration, and at the same time, we expected to host that trophy. But you know, this season has been full of more challenges. And you know, we've had injuries, we've had the passing of our director of player personnel, Clayton Banner. You know, just adversities have struck. But at the same time, we're 6-3 in the same position we were in last year at this time. You know, the 2 seed. You know, we lost it. Jacksonville twice this year. Actually, we lost to Columbus twice. It was the 1 seed. And you know, we like where we're at. You know, our perseverance has been pretty solid. You know, we've added new guys. You know, losing big Walter Thomas at nose and Joe Harris at guard. You know, adding guys in to take those spots. We've done a pretty good job. The guys have, you know, greeted the new guys with open arms. That's came in. You know, our defense coordinator, our new defense coordinator this year, Josh Rezanalo, has stepped in and filled Brian Schmidt's spot pretty well. You know, Schmidt moved on to the business side, and our defense is still 1-2 in the league in a lot of categories. So, yeah, we like where we're at. You know, like I said, we're 6-3. Probably should be, you know, worst case 7-2. But we lost to an Orlando team that had won one game. We're about to go down to Orlando right now and avenge that loss. But anybody can win on any given night. So we're in a good spot.
No, we're on the line with head coach Billy Back of the Carolina Cobras from the National Arena League team, defending champions here. They were the champions last year. And each year, coach, we know you're going to have some roster turnover. That's just the nature of the game. But this year, you still have your starting quarterback, quarterback wide receiver combo of Charles McCollum and Jordan Jolly. Talk to us about these two guys and what they've meant to the team with their leadership and their play over the past two seasons.
But yeah, getting those two guys back was key for us. You know, that's a double-edged sword. You know, Charles is looking for Jordan in a lot of plays. You know, plays that aren't designed to go to Jolly. Chuck still throws to him, but at the same time, you know, Jolly's trying to overcompensate for the lack of, I wouldn't say talent, the lack of knowledge the other receivers have. And but you know, for the most part, they're still a dynamic duo combination-wise. You know, we had to upgrade our offensive line to make their play more potent. So we should see it this week. And their play, but Those guys have led my teams the last four seasons together, maybe five seasons together. Jolly, to me, is still the most dynamic receiver in the game. Charles, when he has time to throw, he's unstoppable. You know, the last couple weeks, and mainly in our losses, we haven't had time to throw the ball, and that's a huge factor. You know, protect ours, pressure there is the key to the game, and you know, having those two guys run the show is just helpful for us.
Hey, Coach, Haskell Shelton here. Congrats on a great start to the season. Good luck as you take on Orlando. Just wanted to talk to you since the Cobras have really taken off in Greensboro. There's just a lot of buzz around the community in general about how fun the games are. What type of home field advantage does Greensboro have in terms of making it easier for the Cobras to win and compared to some of these other stadiums that, like tonight, for instance, when you play Orlando, what does that home crowd feel like since we're, you know, in general, we're a smaller town than some of these other cities?
Well, you know, to be 100% honest, I'm always straightforward. You know, our attendance is probably to the bottom of the league. And you know, we got a winning program on the field. And, you know, for attendance to be low, you know, you go to Jacksonville, play in front of 9,000 fans. You go to Orlando, there's going to be about six or seven. You know, our attendance level is equal to Massachusetts Pirates, who both bottom of the league. And right now, I think that's, you know, it's frustrating. But at the same time, the fans that we do have there are loud. You know, the Greensboro Coliseum, to me, is the best arena in this game, the way the end zones are shaped. Just the weather, you know, the aura of the Coliseum, you know, knowing that J.J. Redick, you know, made some threes there, and other Duke players played there. I'm not a Carolina fan. I'm a Duke fan. Go Blue Devils.
Man.
Just want to throw that sigh on.
Yeah.
Desmond could hear me. But you know, the fans that we do have, you know, we have the ninth man, the high school kids that sit behind the visiting bench and just drives them crazy. You know, we have the traveling fans. We actually have about 14 fans traveling down to Orlando to watch us play in Orlando, which is pretty cool. The fans we do have there are loud. Last home game, we put on a poor performance offensively, and but we had a pretty darn good crowd. You know, the factor of it is the Grasshoppers didn't have a game, High Point didn't have a game, and I don't think the Dash even played at home. So all those people that usually go to those games, you know, came to ours, and you know we compete with those teams. So that's the tough point. That's the tough point. But at the same time, you know, the fans we have are good, and having any time you're at home, it's always an advantage. You know, because you've got that. You know, the home PA system that's going to tell the crowd when to get up and everything. So, you know, we need to take advantage of that when we can.
Well, Coach, this is Randy Pettit, the voice of Bowman Gray Stadium Racing, Winston-Salem. And, man, I love what you guys are doing over there. You know, I know entertainment. I'm in the middle of entertainment every Saturday night at Bowman Gray. And I'm telling you, for all the race fans listening and for all the sports fans listening, if you haven't had a chance to catch these guys, they need to come, man. It's exciting. It's exciting to watch.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna double down on that too, because we were out there last year and just seeing the excitement and just having it in Greensboro to have a professional football team there that's actually really good and the defending champions of this league. Definitely, if you get a chance to go to the Greensboro Coliseum, support the Carolina Cobras. I've got some Carolina Cobras swag that I wear proudly around the Triad all the time. So definitely want to make sure that the public realizes what they have here. And the season's still going on. And you said they're 6-3 right now. If I'm not mistaken, Coach Back, your magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 2. Tell us what the Cobras need to do to clinch a playoff spot and have a chance to defend their NAL title.
Yeah, we win 2, we clinch a playoff spot. If we win 3, we clinch a home playoff game. You know, we have to have other things to happen for us to get the number one seed, but the 2 seed's just where we want to be, the home playoff game. And then, you know, who knows? Like last year, we were the 2 seed, the 1 seed lost the first round, and we host the championship. So hopefully those things happen this year, and we get to do those things. But, you know, it's like a fireworks show. You know, you need to really see it live to appreciate it. You need to come out to it. You know, we're on My48 on television. Home games are all televised live, but you don't get the same feeling you get when you're at the Coliseum, when you're at the arena, when you hear, you know, the hits, the walls, you know, get to see the players face-to-face, up close and personal. It's really a fan-friendly game, so you need to come out and enjoy it. You know, once you come to one game, if you may not understand the rules, but it's still football from the beginning, but you'll get to learn it. It's like an acquired taste, and the more you drink it, the more you see it, the more you like it. So, you know, we're here for a while. You know, we got plans for next season already. I know our league is more competitive this year,
you know, with the adding of the Orlando Predators, the adding of the New York Streets. You know, there's no Lehigh Valleys that we're going to beat 99-6. You know, every game's going to be close. And for a 1-5 team to beat our butts at home, Orlando Predators last time, you know, it just speaks to the volumes of the talent they're bringing in down there.
Yeah, it sounds like y'all are going down there. Sounds like y'all are going down there on a business trip. definitely in terms of what happened from the last time you saw the Predators. Sounds like you guys are super focused and know what you're going to do when you get down there. Again, this is Sunday night at 5:30. I know that they stream these games on the NAL YouTube channel. If not mistaken, the Cobras have a TV deal here in the local area, but is that just home games or is that the entire schedule? I think that was just the home games, correct?
Home games. Away games are on YouTube Live. Type in Carolina Cobras on YouTube. You can watch it stream from your phone, smartphone, or TV.
Sweet. So we're going to be back in touch with you again here as you get deeper into the season, Coach Back. I appreciate you calling me as you guys are traveling down to Orlando, and especially as you guys get closer to the playoffs, we'll definitely have you back on and talk some more Cobra talk.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me today.
All right, Coach Back. Good luck to you guys. That's the Carolina Cobras. They're going to be taking on the Orlando Predators Sunday night this weekend at 5:30, and you can check that out on YouTube. Just YouTube or search for Carolina Cobras, and you can get that entire game for free. Definitely don't miss out. They are a fantastically coached team, well-balanced, nice talent, and they are the defending NAL champions right here underneath our nose in Greensboro. Coming up, odds and ends, rapid fire round. We're going to get 1 minute to debate a random topic. You don't want to miss this. Next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Got some breaking news. We're dealing with the Charlotte Hornets, actually. Isaiah Hicks, Kennedy Meeks, Francis Alonso from UNCG, and all the rookies they drafted have all made the Hornets Summer League team. A little something for us to look forward to for us Hornets fans. We get to see the Summer League team do their thing in Las Vegas with...
Could be our starting five.
Very well be. And then I think we need to update our Twitter poll for the day as well.
That... Also, Woj just came down, too.
Uh-oh, Woj bomb?
Woj bomb.
Oh, gosh, here we go. Boom. What happened?
Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard have been discussing free agent scenarios that could include a future with them playing together.
What?
For now, there are two clear possibilities for them to sign to the same franchise.
Oh, don't say Golden State. Don't say it.
The Knicks and the Clippers.
The Clippers? What? What?
That's the Lakers fan in you, bro. I'm telling you.
It's the Clippers.
Right.
It's the damn Clippers.
It's not the 80s and 90s no more,
they
bro.
They want that Steve Ballmer money,
baby. It don't matter. The Clippers have never been to the Western Conference Finals. They had Chris Paul. They had Blake Griffin.
They'll go next year if they get Kawhi and KD. Not next year, but the year after that.
You know what will happen? Kevin Durant will never be the same player, and Kawhi Leonard will blow out a quad or something, because when you go to the Clippers, you get hurt.
Now you're just being a hater.
Ask Coach Danny Manning of Wake Forest University what happens when you get drafted or sent to the Clippers. What happens to your body?
Now you're just being a hater.
I'm not being a hater. It's just Kevin Durant needs to make up his mind, man. Kevin Durant seems like that girl that's got like two or three suitors and she don't know who to pick, so she just dates all three of them and but then she don't kiss any of them. You know what I mean? Like she's just kind of like this girl's just out there. Everybody talks about her.
This sounds too familiar. Did this happen to you, Des?
But if you're looking at this from a business standpoint. Who has the better business right now, the Clippers or the Lakers? And my vote would be the Clippers. I can't blame those guys one bit.
I don't know.
It's a better-ran business, yeah. And this is big, big business, guys.
For all the talk we've had about the Lakers being a dumpster fire over the past month and a half, if you sit back and look at what they've been able to do in the past 2 years, they signed LeBron James, and they traded for Anthony Davis.
But look what they gave up to get Anthony Davis. I mean, they sold the farm to get him.
I'm fine with that. That's what they do. I mean, the Lakers never had any interest in letting that young core grow. Like they were having to pick those picks because they sucked, to be honest. Like they were in the lottery. Like they had to pick the number two pick. But we gotta get into odds and ends. I'm sorry. Real quick, Twitter poll update. What do we have for our Twitter poll?
According to our listening public, Michael Jordan is overwhelmingly to blame for Kemba Walker's departure. 86% of the listening public. Ouch. Mitch Kupchak, still squeaky clean at 0%.
We should start calling him Clorox.
Squeaky, baby.
I don't understand this.
Teflon Don.
Let's get into odds and ends. Sawyer, set a stop clock for 1 minute. At the end of the 1 minute, we will hear a buzzer sound. Five topics, rapid fire. Let's go.
All right, first up, should the NBA go back to giving the league MVP award at the NBA Finals instead of giving out regular season awards 3 months after the regular season ended?
It really bothers me that the NBA awards are a week after the NBA Finals end, and we all know the votes have been in since the end of March. So this is a regular season award. No offense to Giannis Antetokounmpo or anything like that, but we've just had 3 months to watch NBA playoff action, and I don't know if I would say Giannis was the league MVP. After watching this,
I disagree with that. I do think that he was the league MVP, but I will say that, you know, the NBA is very calculated with this. Obviously, they want us to keep talking about them constantly.
All year.
So I would love to see him go right back to the end of the season, so that folks like you could be convinced that Giannis was the guy. Because if they if they drop the poll on the last day, I like Giannis.
Yeah, if it's a regular season award, let's give it away after the regular
right
season. Let's wait till July.
Because I mean, having James Harden stand up there on stage as an MVP candidate after I just watched him choke in a second playoff series in a row, it feels weird to me that they even do this in the middle of June. But
well, talking about the Rockets, will the Rockets land Jimmy Butler?
They're gonna try. I don't know what else Daryl Morey can do to mess with his salary cap to make this happen, but I think the only way it can happen is if Jimmy Butler convinces, or the Rockets convince, the 76ers to do a sign and trade so Jimmy gets his 5 years max deal. But is that even enough? Is Jimmy Butler, James Harden, and Chris Paul enough to beat LeBron and AD?
No.
I don't think it is either.
If you're Jimmy Butler, why in the world would you want to get out of the East, man? If you
right.
want to go to the finals, stay in the East, man. Right.
That would be the ticket. I would agree with that, especially if Kawhi goes West.
Yeah.
Philly becomes a contender. Boston's weaker because Kyrie's going to be gone. Indiana might be up there. Yeah, I would stay in the East.
All right. Are you excited to check out All for Nothing, the Amazon Prime series that chronicles the 2018 Carolina Panthers season, knowing how the second half of the season went?
I was excited at first when I heard they were doing this, because the Panthers never do this. When Jerry Richardson was the owner, they never would do Hard Knocks or anything like that. They just wouldn't do it. Then I remembered what happened the last 8 games of the season for the Panthers, and I'm not sure if I want to relive that. So I don't know how excited I really truly am. I'll probably go reactivate my Prime subscription, though.
I am totally stoked about this because I've watched the Michigan season, and in that they chronicled Michigan's downturn at the end of the year. One thing that we will find is this will pull the curtains back on the Panthers organization and show us why we are where we are and what our shortcomings are. So it will be made known.
It was painful enough to watch the first time. I don't want to have to watch it again as a Carolina Panthers fan. By the way, I'll have the Mad Catter in the house at the Madhouse tonight.
Hey!
Nice!
Check that out there for sure at Bowman Gray.
All right, next up, should Michael Jordan sell the Hornets?
According to 80-some percent of our voters, yes. I don't know who. Sell it to Oprah. Sell it to somebody else, but I don't... Man, I'm so tired of people telling me to wait and see with the Charlotte Hornets. Oh, let's... PJ Washington needs a project. Wait and see. We'll see how it happens. Oh, Miles Bridges, he's a project. Give him a couple years. Malik Monk, he needs 3 years to get ready. I'm tired of this. I'm fed up with it. I'm not looking forward to listening to Hornets games next year without Kemba Walker on the team. And it's going to come down to Michael Jordan not wanting to spend the money.
Yeah, I would like Michael Jordan to sell. Primarily, we don't need a part-time owner who's just going to accept a losing culture.
Michael Jordan's like Richard Petty. You know, he's not going to go away until he's ready to go away. That's just the way it's going to roll.
He bought the team for $175 million 8 years ago or whatever. They're now worth $1.25 billion. So he doesn't have a reason to sell, but...
All right, next up, will anyone ever break the single-season home run record in the MLB?
No.
I'm going to go with no. I think you're going to see a lot of guys in the low 60s over the next couple of years. And by a lot, I mean probably one or two per season. But no, nobody's going to touch 73.
I'm going to go with heck no, because I think Major League Baseball is going to do something to roll back the scoring. I think they're going to let the air out of the baseball, so to speak. I think you'll see that in the next couple of seasons.
Since Bond's record year in 2001 with 73, the closest anybody's even come to it was Ryan Howard's 58 in 2006. So, there's a large gap between today's hitters and 20 years ago.
All right, last, who should be the coach in Space Jam 2 starring LeBron James?
What's Bill Murray doing?
Oh, that'd be good.
I mean, he was in the original Space Jam.
Yeah.
And, I mean, What's Bill Murray doing? He can't play. He's like 70, right? How old is Bill Murray?
I'm going Ty Lue.
Ty Lue?
Just for forgiveness.
Ty Lue.
I'm looking forward to hearing from the FCC.
I don't know.
That was giggles.
Yeah, that was just a giggles.
I'm going with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks made a very convincing baseball manager in a very famous movie, and I think he would do a fantastic job.
Tom Hanks in Space Jam 2.
Some eyeballs.
I'm going with Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Why not?
Ding, ding, ding.
That would actually help with what I was saying earlier, that he'll show up at the end of the movie. He'd be like, perhaps I could be some assistance, and then go from there. Would Michael Jordan even want to do that?
I don't know.
This has been a Michael Jordan heavy episode today.
I'm going to go with Doc Rivers. What's up, Doc? One of the more likable NBA coaches.
Somebody get out there and cover LeBron.
I'm here for a Doc Rivers Bugs Bunny cameo.
Yeah.
LeBron's on my team. Don't forget to check out SportsCarolinaMonthly.com daily for the latest news on your favorite sports teams in NC. Weekly podcasts like the Franchise Player Sports Podcast, Don't Try This at Home Pro Wrestling Podcast, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, who was with us in the first hour, and The Rundown. In-depth articles written by some of the best talent around, ticket specials, and more. That is SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Don't forget, go get your Dash tickets. They're only $7. They're good for the 5th through the 7th. That's next weekend. Peace. We'll see you. Well, actually, we're out. We're not even going to be on next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.